Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to read the first three verses of Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." I believe it's this Friday we will be experiencing the start of a new Olympic Games for the year 2018, the Winter Olympics. Will be starting. I love the Olympics. I love all sports. I'm kind of weird with that. How many people like curling? I love curling. Like, I know, you know, I'm a African American male from Buffalo, New York, and I like curling. That might be kind of weird, but I like all sports. So Winter Olympics, curling is one of these sports. So go USA. Now, I like a lot of sports in the Winter Olympics, but I'm really a Summer Olympics fan. But anytime the Olympics come up, I start thinking about Winter and Summer Olympics. It's only been, you know, been a few years, I guess maybe about 20 now, that the Winter and the Summer Olympics are on off years. Remember that it used to be that the Olympics, Winter Olympics and Summer Olympics took place the same year, you know, winter and then the summer. But I believe it was 1998 where they began to go in off years, or 88, or I don't know, one of those 8 years. But as I'm thinking about Olympics, I'm thinking about 30 years ago in 1988, something happened in the Olympic Games that was a game changer. It was 1988, and the United States basketball team lost to the Russians. Now, you know, they were the Soviets, USSR, and it was something to see. That basketball was starting to grow around the globe, and a lot of the other countries would start playing professional players, and we were still playing, you know, our amateurs. And so you would even look on the court and you'd see like young boys playing in the Olympics, you know, 18-year-olds, and then the Russians and some of these other teams were playing 20-something and 30-year-olds, and they were like grown men playing these boys, and it just seemed so overwhelming. And so somebody said, you know what, something needs to happen. So in 1992, we put together the Dream Team. How many of you remember the Dream Team, right? The Dream Team, you know, Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewing and David Robinson and Chris Mullins and John Stockton and Christian Laettner. Should have been Shaquille O'Neal, but Christian Laettner made it. Clyde the Glide Drexler. Now, those of you who know nothing about basketball, I'm just rattling off these names. You're like, what is he talking about? These were the absolute best players in the NBA at the time. And they put all these players together on the same team to go to the Olympics in 1992 in Barcelona, Spain. And they did not disappoint. I believe they won every game by like an average of like 50 points. The Dream Team. You see, what happened is they lost in 1988 and decided that they had to refocus and reshift and remake the Olympic basketball team. In essence, they were on a mission. They were on a mission to do something special and spectacular, and they had to change the team. They had to change the dynamics. They had to adapt to the changing surroundings of basketball that wasn't just an American sport. It had become a global sport. So training habits were altered. And again, if you look up the stats for the Dream Team, just amazing when you saw this collection of players. Man, I forgot Karl Malone and Scottie Pippen was on that team too. Oh my goodness. But they changed the whole dynamic of basketball. They were on a mission. Now, over the past several years, if you're a member of this church, you have heard me use the word mission and missional repeatedly. Missional is a word that's not hard to define. All that is done here is that we've attached A-L to the word mission. Mission is a word that communicates something about our lives in God and our connection to God. Disciples of Jesus consider themselves on a mission from God. Years ago, a German by the name of Karl Hartenstein coined the phrase Missio Dei, or Dei. It means mission of God or the sending of God. In recent years, it has become the moniker of the missional church. Those who desire to be missional or part of a missional movement, they flow out of this term, Missio Dei. This movement embodies Missio Dei by simply acknowledging that the church has been called to join God in his ongoing mission to reach all humankind. Now, some would argue that the decline in the church, as churches are reporting lower numbers and people not coming to church as often, they would connect that to the absence of evangelism programs and methods. And I would argue that the decline in the church is the product of many things and many factors. One being, I believe that the church has forgotten its mission. It's forgotten its purpose, and reclaiming and nurturing a missional mindset will take commitment and dedication and heart and new habits and rhythms. So I want us to engage with Scripture and an author by the name of Michael Frost. Michael Frost, who writes extensively on the missional church. He is an expert in missiology. He's Australian. I believe he has some roots in the restoration movement in Australia, and he writes some wonderful things about the missional church. He wrote a book a few years ago called Surprise the World: 5 Habits of Highly Missional People. Now, church, this book is not a step-by-step guide on how to be missional. It is a gentle push for the people of God to embrace new habits or new rhythms. I'm calling them rhythms, so that we will participate with God in changing and transforming the world. He uses an acronym called BELLS. You know, John Hess will get a kick out of this. He uses BELLS as an acronym, and each letter represents a different habit. The B stands for bless. The E stands for eat. The first L stands for listen. The second L stands for learn. And the last, or the S, stands for sent. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to look at these different habits. And hopefully we will embrace these habits, practice these habits, and become highly missional people. It's a new year. We are facing new challenges, and we are living in new realities within the reign of God. But God is still the same, church. He is still sovereign. He is still blessing. He is still saving. He is still loving. He is still interested in the transformation of men and women all over this planet. And last I checked, he is still using you and me. He is still using us to walk and work alongside him in this mission. So, church, let's jump right in with the first habit: bless. I read into your hearing this foundational text from the book of Genesis. In that text, we see the call of Abram, who would become Abraham. Abraham is a central figure in all three of the world's major religions, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. All three faiths claim allegiance to the faith story of Abraham, making him one of the most prominent religious figures in the world. In Genesis 12, Abraham is presented seemingly out of obscurity and chosen to be God's vessel of blessing to the entire world. Here again, verse 2 of chapter 12, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse, and in you, all the families of the earth, all the families on the globe, all the families, every tongue, every nation, every tribe, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. Through you, all people will be blessed. Let's start with this. God wants to bless us. He wants to shower us with blessings. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to be beneficiaries of the riches that he has to offer. But the fact is, that is not always the case. You see, sin and brokenness would have it so that no one experiences this blessing. As such, we live in a world where brokenness has robbed so many people of the blessings that God wants to offer. But the resolve of his people is to take a look at what we have, deem it a blessing, and promise to be a blessing to others. We just talked about that in the last series, right? When we have more than we need, we build a longer table and not a higher fence. It is our resolve to share what God has blessed us with others. Church, this is our missional call as descendants of Abraham, as descendants, spiritual descendants. We are his spiritual family. We are heirs to the promise of God. I like the way that Paul puts it in the book of Galatians when he's writing to the Galatian church in chapter 3, verse number 26. He says, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ," I get this, "then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." The promise. We are living descendants of Abraham, and thus we are living in the promise that God gave to Abraham, and we have the same call to bless the world. Blessing is a part of our missional call. Blessing others is what we do. Some define blessing as adding strength to someone's arm. Blessing is adding strength to people in whatever circumstances they find themselves in. Again, referring to Michael Frost's book, Surprise the World, Michael Frost writes that adding strength is anything that relieves the burdens in life, anything that helps them breathe more easily, anything that lifts their spirit or alleviates their distress. It can be a small thing or large. That's blessing others. I want us to think about adding strength or blessing in three primary ways. And there's some overlap here. If you are familiar with Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages, how many people read that book? You'll see some overlap here. I want us to think about blessing others in three primary ways, but don't limit it to those three primary ways. But in these three primary ways, I want us to at least consider this idea of blessing. The first area is words of affirmation. There are ways to bless others by the words that we speak. I think we are inundated with enough examples of people who speak words that tear down and rip up and destroy, right? But speaking words of affirmation is one of the easiest ways that we can bless others. And we've been afforded technology and methods and ways that we can speak words like we've never spoke before. I can speak words of affirmation in literally 10 seconds to someone all the way on the other side of the world through email or text. We can write letters, we can write cards, we can face-to-face just speak words of affirmation. And I want to tell you that these ways of blessing others, Jesus Christ is one of the ones that just excelled at this. How many times do we see Jesus speaking words of affirmation to his disciples or even those who weren't part of his collection, his crew? Take, for instance, John chapter 15. Verse number 12, where Jesus says these words. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father." Not servants. Jesus looks at his disciples and says, "I call you friends." It's words of affirmation. Another way I want us to think about blessing others is through acts of kindness, serving the needs of others. And again, I find it a fortunate place to be a part of a church where I see so much of this going on all the time, where people are just giving of their lives and blessing others through acts of service. Again, Jesus Christ himself in his ministry on earth served others. Probably one of the most fantastic examples of this is in John 13, where after dinner, Jesus gets down and washes the feet of his disciples and tells them that as I've done for you, I want you to do for others. A third way I want us to think of, again, these are primary ways of blessing. You can break them down and probably extend that to several different expressions. But words of affirmation, acts of kindness. The third one is gifts, money, resources, and I would even say the gift of time, because our time is precious, isn't it? That is a rich commodity. Jesus' healing ministry was one of the most extravagant blessings that we read of in Scripture. Whether it was when he fed the 5,000, or whether it was when he was healing the sick, or when it was just him being present with his disciples. Living missionally is to embrace a habit and rhythm of blessing or the rhythm of generosity, and it follows the example of Jesus himself. And again, church, I find it a fortunate place to be that in the body of Christ here at Reynoldsburg, we provide and explore opportunities for us to bless through those various streams, words of affirmation, acts of service, acts of kindness, and gifts. You know, our regular offering time is one of those opportunities that we provide for us to live into this rhythm of generosity. In the fourth century, this is so fascinating. In the fourth century, there was an emperor by the name of Julian. Julian served Rome for about like 2 years. He died in battle. You know, that's when leaders and rulers of countries actually used to fight in war. That didn't happen much anymore, right? He only served 2 years, but he was a very brilliant thinker. He was a philosopher. He was in the Constantine dynasty. Now, if you've ever heard of the Emperor Constantine, Constantine was one of the emperors that was kind to Christianity. And under Constantine's rule, Christianity actually began to flourish, and they received protections. And under Constantine's rule, people who were Christians started to ascend in the government and in different areas, and they began to increase in their influence. Well, Julian, when he came into power, he said, I got to put a stop to this stuff. He called Christians atheists, and he called them atheists because they only believed in one God. He says, a good, you know, religious, pious person would believe in many gods. They only believe in one God. So he called them atheists. He also called them Galileans, which was a way of saying that this is a movement that grew out of like some fishermen. How can you take that serious, these Galileans? But Julian wanted to, again, wane or diminish the influence of Christianity in the fourth century, which at that time was a fast, rapidly, exponentially growing movement. Now, this is what Julian wrote in the fourth century, about 362 AD. Julian wrote this. He says, "We must pay special attention to this point," talking about these Galileans, "and by this means effect a cure. For when it came about that the poor were neglected and overlooked by the priest," and the priest, he's talking about the pagan priest of all the other religions, not the Christian religions. He says, "When the poor were neglected and overlooked by the pagan priests, then I think the impious Galileans," speaking of the Christians, "observed this fact and devoted themselves to philanthropy. And they have gained ascendancy in the worst of their deeds through their credit they win for such practices. For just as those who entice children with a cake and by throwing it to them two or three times induce them to follow them, and then when they are far away from their friends, cast them on a board, a ship, and sell them as slaves." So what he's saying is that, man, they're good at this stuff. Man, they trick them and they entice them with all this good stuff, and then they trick them, which of course is not true. But then he says, "By the same method, I say, the Galileans also begin their so-called love feast." He's talking about communion. "Or hospitality. Or service of tables. For they have many ways of carrying it out, and hence call it by many names. And the result is that they have led very many into atheism." Do you hear what he's saying? That through their hospitality and through their service and through their benevolence, they're leading people to Jesus Christ. Now, he wouldn't say that. He's calling it atheism. He further writes this. Now, he thought that the way that you combat what they're doing is to go on the offensive. He was trying to encourage his pagan priests to do what the Christians were doing. So he says, "Why do we not observe that it is their benevolence to strangers, their care for the graves of the dead, and the pretended holiness of their lives that have done most to increase atheism? I believe that we ought really and truly to protect and to practice every one of these virtues. For it is disgraceful that when the impious Galileans support not only their own poor, but ours as well. All men see that our people lack aid from us." So not only were the early Jesus followers helping out people within their own, they were helping people outside. They were blessing church people, and they were blessing non-church people. And what Julian was saying is, we need to go do the same thing. And the record bears out that the pagan priest says, "Get out of our face with that junk. We're not doing that." and they didn't do it. Christians continued to do it, and the church grew and grew and grew. I am challenging us to embrace some new rhythms and habits. Habit one is to bless. It's the rhythm of generosity. This week, I am challenging everyone in this room, this week, over the next 7 days, challenging everyone in this room to bless three people. Three people through words, through acts of service, or through gifts. The stipulation is that of those three people, one of those needs to be a member of the body, and one of them needs to be someone who's not a member of this body. And then the third, it can be either or. And at least three. If you want to do 5 and 10 or 20, do it. But I want you to think about embracing a new rhythm and habit. And what if over the next several weeks, the remainder of 2018, you can say, you know what, every week I am determined to bless at least three people. I wonder what that would do for the kingdom of God. I wonder if we might repeat what took place in early centuries when the church grew and grew and grew and increased atheism, Christianity, belief in God, belief in the reign of God. So bless three people, either through words of affirmation, acts of kindness, or gifts. And as we close this morning, I want to offer you an opportunity to bless someone. And if you want, this may represent you blessing someone who's not a member of this body. But there will be an opportunity with this person for you to use one of those three primary ways to bless someone. Natalie Thiebert, who we've been talking about and praying about for the past couple of weeks. She's a sophomore at Reynoldsburg High School. She is in the orchestra, so Chloe Brown, Caitlin Frazier, they probably know her more than most of us because she's a strings instrument student. She's also on the swim team, and from all accounts, a delightful young woman. On January 13th, we had a lot of snow, and you know, people were out playing in the snow, and she was playing in the snow, and she dove in the snow, and she broke her neck, and has a very serious spinal cord injury. She's had several surgeries. She is in rehab at Children's Hospital. She's going to be in a wheelchair. And we don't know how long she's going to be in a wheelchair, but the outlook doesn't look too promising that she will ever walk again. Let me say one thing from the get-go. I believe in a God who can do some powerful things. And so I know what the prognosis is. I know what the outlook is for her. But it shouldn't stop us from praying that this young lady regains her ability to walk. Amen? So I want to ask you to pray for Natalie Thiebert and her recovery. But I also want to give you an opportunity to bless Natalie and her family. Several people in the community in Reynoldsburg are trying to organize ways to help this family. Because she's going to be in a wheelchair for an extensive amount of time, the family is now tasked with doing some repairs and renovations at their home to make it wheelchair accessible. And it's going to take money. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of effort. So there are fundraisers going on all over. There are T-shirts that they're selling to raise money for Natalie. I believe they're going to set up or have already set up a GoFundMe page. And as I was listening to the orchestra teacher talk about this on Thursday night, I don't say this a lot, but the Spirit just hit me that this is a way that we can bless others. So, I want to give you opportunity to participate in one of three things. If we can get a basket, I just wanted to take a love offering for the Thiebert family. We will just pass the basket. If there's something that you can give to this effort, I would encourage you to really think about that. If you're going to write a check, if you would put Natalie in the memo so that we can have a good accounting of this love offering. What I'm going to suggest that we do is to just make a huge lump check from the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ and present it to the parent of Natalie, who will be overseeing this effort. So whenever you can, just go ahead and start passing the basket. If you know writing a check is going to take too much time, you need to give that to me afterwards. You can do that. So that's one way that you can bless someone through a gift. Here's another way. And I went out and bought some stationery and some cards. If you would, if especially if you are just really good with words, I've got some cards and some envelopes here. They're blank, and I would love for some of you beautiful people to write some beautiful words of affirmation to Natalie. At the end of service, after we close here, by all means, just come up and take one of these in an envelope. Write whatever you want to write. Take it home. Think about it. Words of inspiration, words of affirmation. If you would get these to me next week, so what we'll do is with the check, we will include letters and cards and words of affirmation. If you don't want to use my stationery, you have something better, by all means do that. If you have the cards that play music, you know, get that, whatever. Just bring them. But next week, if you could bring that, and let's write some encouraging words to Natalie, because she's in for a long road. I guarantee on January 12th, she was not thinking about being in rehab to learn how to walk again, okay? So you can do that. That's words of affirmation and gifts. But then there's another opportunity in acts of service. I would imagine that they're gonna need people to come in and do some work. The more people that can volunteer to do some of the labor and work in the renovations, it might be cheaper. It might be less of a burden on the family. So if you're here and you would like to volunteer your time for building and carpentry stuff, could you let me know? And when I send a letter to the family about what we're doing for them, I want to be able to tell them, hey, we have 4, 5, 6 individuals who are ready to help you in any way, any small way or big way that they can. Just, if you would, just come and let me know. I'm inviting you to bless someone through words of affirmation, through gifts, or an act of kindness. And I am encouraging you and challenging you to embrace a new habit and rhythm of blessing people. So this week, bless 3 people. Somebody in here, and somebody outside of here, and then a third person of your choice. Let's get on a road to being highly missional people. Is that all right, church? Let's pray. God, thank you for your loving kindness and the way that you have blessed us. And God, we take your call to be a blessing to others as you called Abram and then made him a father of many, Abraham. God, as you have called him to be a blessing, God, we embrace that call. We accept that call to be a blessing to others because we are heirs of Abraham. We are heirs of that promise. God, help us to see and hear and feel the ways that we need to bless others. God, I pray that we would never neglect the call to be generous, taking into account all that we have, the riches that we have, the blessings that we have. We have more than we need. So God, we intend to build a bigger table and not a higher fence, and we intend to bless others. God, we also pray for Natalie, this young girl who has been involved in just a horrible, horrible freak accident. God, we as the body of Christ join our hearts and hands together right now and we pray for healing for Natalie. God, we pray that she would do something special and spectacular. She would do something powerful in her life right now. God, as she lays in her bed right now at Children's, God, I pray that your power would just overcome her right now and just bring healing upon her. God, in the meantime, we also pray for this gift that we will be sending to that family, God. I'm praying that it will just be a portion of the extravagant gifts that will be showered on that family over the next several weeks and months and years. God, I'm praying for the individuals in here right now that are determining to be present with them through an act of kindness. And God, I'm asking you to bless the hands of those who will be writing notes and cards to this young lady, encouraging her to fight the good fight. God, I pray that we would bless in such a way that we make it clear that we love our city, we love our community, and that we are here as God's people to be a blessing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So gifts, service, and words invite you to bless in one of these ways. Praise team will be singing, Lord, I give you my heart. If there's any way that the church can be a service to you through the ministry of prayer, the ministry of presence, if you are in this place and you want to share in the blessing of baptism like Hannah did last week, we want to give you that opportunity as we stand and as we sing. Let's sing, church.